The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno, Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. And unlike Stevie's flat tyre, there were no surprises in the Champions League today, with Real Madrid and Napoli both going through safely to the quarterfinals. The draw, of course, will be made on Friday. We'll kick things off at the Santiago Bernabeu. The hope was that Liverpool could go there, maybe score a couple of early goals, silence the crowd, get things nervous.
Not if you're a Madrid fan.
Well, if from a Liverpool perspective, or maybe from a neutral, wanted a little bit of...
You must have another cliche you can throw in.
A little bit of excitement, but in the end, it was Real Madrid who'd win by 1-0. In fact, Alisson was the man of the match for Liverpool, just showing how dominant the defending champions were. Stevie, I suppose the damage done, really, at Anfield.
Yeah, it was never really on.
Listen, it could have been on.
Well, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, there you are.
Well, they could also have lost 4 or 5 today.
Yes.
No, they could have scored 2 or 3 themselves. They had
coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Well, exactly. So, what do you want? And we're going to sit here and coulda, woulda, shoulda all day.
Well, let's
listen.
Do it.
The fact is, Liverpool again was shown that Real Madrid really are a step ahead of them right now. Alisson was the man of the match. Yes, probably. Probably not all of the saves he made were down to fantastic goalkeeping, but, you know, some questionable finish from Real Madrid because they had plenty of opportunities. So, it was never going to happen. It never looked like happening. Mm. And at the end of the day, Liverpool got out of this. What they did was they didn't get embarrassed.
Right.
That's about it. That's about as much as I can come up with.
Good night.
Do you know the most interesting thing for me? He's shown his stubbornness again. Not football.
They didn't
not
get embarrassed.
No,
I mean,
football.
It doesn't get any lower than that.
No, you haven't listened again. This is a blue jacket day.
Yep.
You've shown once again. You've shown your.
I've actually got blue through this.
Got blue, blue shirt got through that.
This is blue through.
Oh, yeah, clear.
See, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, very much yeah. so. Yeah, dominated yeah. through.
There's not much to say about it, really.
No, there isn't. Really.
I mean I would say, you know, for sure Real Madrid were the more dangerous.
Yeah.
Liverpool had their moments. Real Madrid were the more dangerous. Kind of felt they had another gear or two. Played it perfectly, really. And the big question in the end was, you know, could Liverpool go there and not be defeated? Rather than could they go there and score 3 or 4 goals, just wasn't going to happen.
Real Madrid, of course, continuing this narrative, they turn up for the Champions League. This was as lively as we've seen them since the game at Anfield.
Yeah, and it's a narrative that will continue to gain a whole lot of steam and a whole lot of momentum because we see Real Madrid play in La Liga and it's difficult. Even this past weekend when they beat Espanyol, the first 15 minutes of that game, it was all Espanyol all the time. Real Madrid had to go down 1-0 and then... They said, all right, okay, fine, let's play. Today wasn't like that. And it isn't like that in Champions League. From the very first minute, you see Real Madrid playing at a different intensity, a different urgency, with different type of quality. Yes, there were moments in which Liverpool may have looked dangerous, but on the balance, once Real Madrid got a hold of the ball and got a hold of the momentum of the game, the pace of the game, the rhythm of the game, it was Luka Modric getting involved. It was Toni Kroos getting involved. And then you have Camavinga finding passes forward. Fede Valverde always running back and forth. He himself could have had at least 2 or 3 goals today. Benzema had clear opportunities. Vinicius Jr. always, always active down the left-hand side. And I don't know if Alexander-Arnold feels like he gets headaches defensively because I don't know that he stresses too much about that part of the game. But if he were going to have a headache, it would be today because Vinicius Jr. was always willing to get in behind, cutting to the inside, cutting to the outside, a little step over here, another step over there. This is a different version of what we see from Real Madrid on a weekly basis in La Liga. And again, it feeds into that narrative. They care about Champions League. La Liga, not so much.
Well, they've, of course, got Barcelona in a Clásico on Sunday. From a Liverpool perspective, Stevie, what, we're at the start of March, they're out of everything.
Yeah, they've just got to try
huge,
and do the...
Huge failure this season.
100%. I mean, you're talking about going off the edge of a cliff. we're talking about going from something that has never been done in the history of the game that they were going for 8 months ago.
Yep.
To they can't beat anybody, it seems now. I mean, that's a huge drop off. And if you're Klopp and you're the staff and you're Liverpool fans, you're hoping it's down to just fatigue and the World Cup and just one of those seasons. Now, if it's not, then you've got a problem because you need rebuilding, and I'm not sure the finances there are there to rebuild, and so that would be the biggest worry.
What's been the biggest disappointment for you?
The way they've lost games. You know, any footballer will tell you, you can lose games. Sometimes you're unlucky. Sometimes you don't take your chances. Sometimes the best team doesn't always win. But the amount of times that Liverpool have been completely and utterly outplayed by some average teams, that's the biggest disappointment.
The worry is what the Fenway Sports Group want to do with the sale of the club. Whether they want to, I think they want to keep an involvement in it. Who are they going to sell it to? The major stake. There's a Qatari investment fund firm, whatever you want to call it, it's reportedly going to buy Man United. They're going to pump money in. We've already seen what's happening at Chelsea, albeit shambolic at the moment, but there at least there's finance. City, you know, obviously they spend and they've got all these challenges, but what if they don't get the Champions League? What if the sale is to somebody who's, or to an investment firm or a company or individual that's a little bit more coy about it? I mean, it's a good core of players,
yeah.
But then you're trusting that what happens is what Stevie says, is that potentially they get rebooted next year and this almost same bunch go again and are better. Because it doesn't look as if they're going to go out and spend like the other clubs in this division, and that's going to be difficult.
It's tricky when you think of a reboot, maybe just a bit of a rest over the summer, come back fresh. But you look at that starting 11 and look at the quality that's there. Of course, collectively, they've been such a good team with the likes of Salah playing out of their skin. But when he's not, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think Stevie was talking about what's most disappointing about this club. And obviously, I don't have the ties to this club that Stevie does. But I would say this. The drop-off of Liverpool has been very steep. Think about who they were and what they were playing for at this time last season. And usually when a team has a drop-off, it doesn't happen this quickly. It doesn't happen not only this quickly, but to see the difference of what they were and what they are. That the standard, utilizing Stevie's words, they didn't get embarrassed. That's the standard for a team that was just in Champions League final just last season.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's why the natural tendency will be to think, no, okay, these are still good players. So it has to be a reboot. We're just a couple of pieces away. The danger is that drop-off has been steep for too many players. Not only as a group, but for too many individuals. And can they get that level back? That is a big gamble to take.
I think the biggest thing we'll find out will be at the start of next year, because it's difficult for us when we just see Liverpool playing game to game. And you started the question to Ali by, well, that looks like a strong team. Unfortunately, when you look at that on paper, you're thinking about all of those players at their best. Now, there's no way possible that those players are training as well as they were previously. It's not a case of training well and then for some reason they're turning up on game day.
Right.
So Klopp and his staff will know better than anybody else who's tired and who's done.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. Who's tired and who's done? Who needs replacing? And only they will know.
The problem is, if there is this pot of gold for Klopp to spend in the summer, you can't offer the players coming in Champions League football. You can't necessarily say to them, we're going to be title contenders. That has kind of shifted as well, hasn't it, with this season?
A little bit, but then you're coming in off the back of a manager who's had success and has been there and done it.
You think the World Cup, we were talking about Bellingham going to Liverpool. Like, why would he go to Liverpool now?
I don't see that unless he's got a huge desire to play for the club. I see him going to Real Madrid, to be honest with you. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But if you look at the side, they've got Diaz to come back into that front line. I don't think the front line, looking at the players, is a major headache.
Sure.
I think Nunes, a year down, another, you know, few months down the line, has sort of shown that there's potential to go a full season. We can throw our hat up about Fabinho and don't know what weight it's going to come down. What we do know is Alexander-Arnold isn't going to be a good defender next year. Mm. It's not going to be, oh, summer, Alexander-Arnold's a good defender. The other variable is Van Dijk.
Which is a variable these days.
Yeah. Mm. And is he going to step up to the level he was? Is he going to show the leadership that he had? And are they going to find a partner, regular partner for him, that brings his confidence back out again? You certainly can't keep relying on people like Henderson and particularly James Milner, yep, who has played a gazillion games. I mean, he'll come in and play right back and do a job. So there are some holes to fill. I just don't know how much money there is.
I don't think, you know, yes, it would be nice to go and get a Bellingham. But I think the way for Liverpool is not to be going and signing somebody who's 120 million or, you know, the signing of Van Dijk and Alisson was the icing on the top, because the reason the Liverpool team was built on younger players who had not yet reached the potential.
Right.
And so that's the way they have to go. Liverpool if they don't get the Champions League, somebody like Bellingham's not going to go anyway. And I don't think Liverpool have the money, are interested in spending, as I said, 120 million. So it's down to going and getting your people like Salah's when you got them.
Sadio Mane's.
Right. All of these players, that's how, yeah, Liverpool get back to where they want to be. Because it ain't going to be splashing out hundreds of millions. It's not.
Meanwhile, the only goal of the game was scored by Karim Benzema, whose record in the knockout stage of the Champions League is quite phenomenal. Not only that, but coupled with the opposition that he scored against. Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, PSG. It's quite something, isn't it, that he steps up. Today obviously was an easy goal, but coupled with what we've seen over recent months, recent years with Benzema, it's not to be unexpected.
No, and if you didn't know this about Karim Benzema, that the guy scores goals, then where have you been? Now, the truth about Karim Benzema is that his most outstanding performance was late in the last year's run for Real Madrid in Champions League. Today wasn't nearly the best version of Karim Benzema. In fact, he probably could tell you that I probably had two or three goals in me and missed the chances. But based upon the importance of this player for Real Madrid, he is the first man on that starting lineup for Carlo Ancelotti. And he is the one guy that they cannot afford to have missing big games. He changes their personality in the attack. He is their attack. The flexibility that he gives this team and how that relationship that was not there in the beginning has now developed between him and Vinicius Jr. make this team such a dangerous group, certainly in transition through Vinicius Jr., but when the build-up, Karim Benzema is the one that finds the spaces, and he's the outlet. Modric and Toni Kroos and Fede Valverde, they'll give you something. But once they get into that final third, the outlet is Karim Benzema. He makes the decisions, he makes his team go, and he, of course, scores the big goals as well for them.
We don't have to keep filling now. Gav has sorted out his technical problems.
Right.
As I remind you, the extra time is available over on our YouTube channel. The boys, of course, staying late to answer your tweets. Three-nil on the night, 5-0 on aggregate. Done and dusted. Napoli destroying Eintracht Frankfurt over the two legs. Victor Osimhen once again the star of the show with a brace. There's Zielinski with a penalty as well to guarantee Napoli a place in the last eight. They're looking good, Gab.
They're looking good. They kind of weathered the early storm against Eintracht, who came out with a high press, all guns blazing. I think Oliver Glasner did what he thought he had to do to try to stun them. But again, this team can beat you so many ways. They kind of weathered the storm, passed through their way through the press, and then scored at the end of the first half, and they were very much on their way. How about that vertical, by the way, from Victor Osimhen for the first goal? Decidedly Ronaldo-esque, as I see it.
Yeah, he's not bad, Gab.
No, he's not. And look, I think what... You know, some people have said, oh, how good is he technically and whatever. Well, You know what?
No,
the guy's
that,
super smart. Makes. Yeah, I can think of a couple people. But the guy's super smart. He makes all the runs at the right time. And he's a tremendous athlete. He's strong and he's quick. And on top of that, he's tactically really, really intelligent. So when you have that combination, you know, Thomas Muller made a whole career out of it. You know, you don't have to necessarily be, you know, Lionel Messi with the ball at your feet. And by the way, he's not bad technically either. So I think he's got the whole team working for him, and he works for the team. He clears so much space. He makes the wide players better. Right now, what we're seeing from Spalletti, I think, is truly special. And you know who thinks so too? Pep Guardiola. He said last night that the two teams who play the best football in Europe are Arsenal and Napoli. And of course, Pep wouldn't ever be sucking up to other clubs or just trying to be a gentleman.
No, definitely not. You take a look at Osimhen, Steve. He must be a nightmare to defend.
Yeah, well, you never know what he's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, you never know when he's going to make that run in behind. He's good at pulling you out as well to leave space for others. So for a centre-back in particular, absolute shocker. You know, pulling centre-backs out and then having your centre-back having the brains to maybe try and pass him on if he can. As I said, if he gets it and he turns and runs at you, you're in trouble because he's got plenty of pace. And if you stand off him, then he'll just turn and go at you and lay it off as well. So he's one of those guys that hopefully he stays out of your area
right.
and goes to somebody else's.
All right, pass the buck.
Yes.
I mean, he scores all types of goals, doesn't he? Obviously, he's got the physical attributes to do so. But there's a goal he scored at Salernitano and not too long ago that I was like, wow. He basically battered two centre-halves off the ball, was heading to a position that looked like it was only going to be able to cross it in and there was nobody there, and absolutely fired one past the goalkeeper at the near post. Now, it wasn't brilliant from the goalkeeper, but it was just how quick thinking he is as well. His physical attributes, quick thinking, powerful strike of the ball, great in there. And as the guys have said, some really good players behind them and wide of them as well. So, yeah, we've been saying it for a while. Napoli are to be avoided in this competition at all costs.
Yeah, and because of the, not only the talent that we see of Osimhen, one of the best in the world.
Oh, yeah. Look, it reminds me, and perhaps not the same technical ability,
right?
But it reminds me of the OG Brazilian Ronaldo. When Osimhen is running with the ball and people are bouncing off of him, that's what you saw from Fenomeno back in the day. Now, this is a very lofty comparison because, in my estimation, Brazilian Ronaldo, obviously one of a kind, but it's that type of power that you see from Osimhen. And you see this guy inside the 18-yard box going on get a header, he jumps everybody, right? So there is an athleticism to him, a power to him, and then a quality to his game that makes the job of those guys that are behind him, underneath him, look, it makes it much easier. Because guess what? When I'm in trouble, I can find this guy down the channel because I know he's going to get there. I know I can float a ball into the box and he's going to go get it. He's going to run in behind. He's going to hold the ball up. It makes your job a whole lot easier as a creative player when you have a guy that gives you so many options.
Who's better than Napoli left in this competition, Gab?
Well, look, I can't possibly contradict Pep Guardiola, can I? no, I mean, look, I think if you're Napoli, I think, you know, you're playing with house money at this stage. You know, you're going to look and you're not going to be intimidated by anybody. Obviously, I would assume you would put Man City and then Bayern and Real Madrid ahead of them because, you know, we keep getting told how important the European pedigree is and the experience in Europe and all this stuff. I'd probably chuck Benfica into the mix too because while they've gone totally under the radar this year, this is a team that's lost one game all season. I'm not saying Benfica are better than Napoli. I don't believe they are. But I think we have the strange, you know, Champions League where this season we're you can probably find flaws in the three so-called, you know, big name favorites. And you've got a couple teams like Napoli, like Benfica, certainly, who I think are capable of upending the apple cart.
Napoli are going to win the league, yeah? That's done. That's sorted. So is it a help or a hindrance that you can manage these final games in the knockout stages from a Napoli perspective, as opposed to City, you've got to keep fighting for
the league? I think Napoli are just in such a good position. I wouldn't see a negative in it.
Right.
I mean, I really don't. I don't see a negative from either side. Both, well, particularly City, have a big squad, still fighting for the league, obviously, as you said. Napoli are going to cruise over the line. But, I mean, I don't know. The players are still focused.
Yeah.
They're in that position because they're professional. They've played great. They've got a fantastic manager. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Actually, I think Napoli would be City's biggest nightmare. I think Bayern Munich and Real
Madrid... Right over two legs.
I think Bayern Munich and Real Madrid might handle Osimhen and Napoli a bit better than City.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because I think City are so mindset in possessing the ball and having a high line and having their centre-halves, at least one of them in the midfield, that they're more susceptible to a really good counter-attack with somebody over the top. Whereas I think Bayern and Real Madrid... maybe happy to give Napoli a bit more of the ball and sit a bit deeper. City don't do that. Just don't do it. And I think Napoli for City could be their biggest headache because of the way they play and because of the way City play, leaving that space in behind. Osimhen would be licking his lips.
Gab, is it fair to say that this is a bonus prize? Obviously, the league, the first one since 1990, is what it's all about. And as far as they can advance in the Champions League, it's kind of the icing on the cake. It's not the be-all and end-all.
No, it's definitely not the be-all and end-all. I mean, I think they need 5 wins between now and the end of the season, something like that. And then they're guaranteed the Serie A title. There's 11 games to go. So obviously they want to keep their eye on that. I'd also add that this is a pretty deep team, you know, especially up front. You know, they still have Chucky Lozano, Giovanni Simeone, Raspadori, who, you know, none of these guys started this game in midfield. You know, they've got people like Almas who can help you. So I think, you know, they feel that they have the squad that, you know, they can certainly pace themselves, manage a team and put out really strong teams in the quarterfinals and even beyond that. But, you know, in some ways, I think, as you said, the pressure is off. If they win the league this year, and I'm not counting any chickens before they hatch, really going to be a tremendous achievement. Because let's not forget, they cut their wage bill by 30%. To all those people out there saying, oh, it's all about money. We need the Super League. How can we compete with the Premier League and their $4 billion of revenue a year and Todd Boehly and Enzo Fernandez, all this nonsense. Like, no, you have to go out, be smart. You got to compete. You got to get a good coach. And there's a whole sporting element to it. And, you know, to cut your wage bill, to sell arguably your 3 most important players, to lose them all over the summer in Insigne, Koulibaly and Mertens, and to come back much, much stronger like that, that's really impressive. And you know what? Sometimes smart people win, not just rich people, smart people.
Before we get, by the way, to Cavs' much-anticipated dream draw, let's talk about another team who are through, another Italian team who are through to the quarterfinals, of course, Inter Milan. Interesting stuff from Beppe Morata about Romelu Lukaku. I want to underline it. It's a one-season loan, so he'll go back to Chelsea. Lukaku's physicality and fitness are the key elements of his game. He's not 100%. He's not yet the same Lukaku that we saw in previous years. Difficult to read in between the lines, really, of what Morata's trying to say there, Gab. Why is this second spell back in Inter been such a disaster?
Because Inter as a team haven't been as good, because they have a different manager, because Lukaku's had all sorts of physical problems. But you know what? However much a disaster it may have been, if I were Marotta and you put a microphone in front of me and I was in that position, I'd be saying exactly that. I'd be saying, oh yeah, no. Lukaku's a Chelsea player. He's going back to Stamford Bridge at the end of the season. And then, you know, when Boehly and Igbali and Chelsea sit down and do their sums, they're waiting, you know, and they're like, wait, we're paying how much for this guy? He's costing us how much? I think at that stage, they'll probably be more willing to go and do a deal for a loan, especially if Lukaku wants to come back. And I do think he wants to come back to Inter. I think what Inter, you know, if you want to read between the lines, what they're saying is, we'll take him back, but we won't take him back on these terms. You know, we're not going to pay a massive loan fee for him. We want to pay even less of his wages. That's called smart negotiating. He's a Chelsea player. You know, he's Chelsea's problem, in inverted commas.
A problem, Steve. He's the solution. We've been saying Chelsea need an out-and-out striker. There's Lukaku. Bish, bash, bosh. Done. Premier League and Champions League double next season.
Give it to us, Stevie.
No.
Oh, Lukaku.
Which part of Lukaku's game fits in with Chelsea?
Well, he'd make a good pair of me Aubameyang.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, they could travel in late together in the morning.
Lovely.
Another player for Graham Potter to work with.
Yep. Yep. Any way it could work?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
No chance. He won't be there.
Right.
He will not be at Chelsea at the start of next season. They will have to bite the bullet, and I'm sure that Lukaku has shown when he's in his time with other Premier League teams, mid-table teams, that he can be successful, and I think that's where he'll probably end up, because the Premier League teams can afford to pay him more than other sides in Europe. So I see him ending up somewhere in the Premier League in the mid-table.
If his heart wasn't in it the first time, then
it's... What's this, the third, fourth time?
Well, then this
the
time.
No, but I'm not saying the first time. It was definitely his heart was in it. It just didn't work out. But in his second spell back there,
right,
and he didn't want to be there. Yeah, exactly.
And then the third one.
So it's not going to happen.
Okay, here we go then.
Go on, what?
Here we go. It's Gab's dream draw.
Hello.
Tell me he's got Man City and Napoli.
Let's have a look. That would definitely be a pick of the tie, wouldn't it? Let's see. AC Milan against Inter.
Oh, who doesn't want to see that?
I'm taking the under in that game, Gab.
No, he just wants it. He just wants an Italian save through to the next round.
Oh,
that's all.
Yeah, guaranteed.
I don't. Hey, Derby. Hey.
Oh, he's for horses, by the way. Did your mum know?
This is my city. This is my city. As a city, we have won more Champions League titles, stroke European Cups, than anybody else, except for Madrid, but we don't need to count them. these two teams have been waiting
since kind of lost a bit of
2006 to be in the quarterfinals. And the reality is, why do I want them to play each other? You kind of touched upon it, because they're not particularly good right now. They all have a bunch of issues. And this way, I know I get the joy of it. I'd rather have the derby in the final. But you know what? It's probably not going to happen. I'll take the derby now. At least Milan will be represented, as they should be as a city by birthright, in the semifinals of the Champions League. So, sorry. Sue me. I'm going to take
Napoli-Benfica, Gab. Another easy draw for an Italian side.
You know what? I'm going to unleash the 120 million Benfica fans, Benfica club members around the world, if you call this an easy draw. Benfica, I think, have lost one game all season. They've been flying below the radar in so many ways. I think this is a celebration of two teams who operate on limited budgets, but who are very, very well-run clubs, who are both having tremendous seasons, who are killing it in the league. And yeah, I want to see one of those teams in a semi-final.
Real Madrid-Chelsea.
Real Madrid-Chelsea, look, I like the theme of managers facing their former clubs. And obviously, Carlo Ancelotti, a former Chelsea player. I'd be really fascinated to see what Graham Potter does in this game. Do you play defend and counter? Do you try to play more Potter ball? And to see how Ancelotti counters it, whether he does any tinkering at all. Thibaut Courtois as well, facing his old club. There's lots of nice little themes there.
And then you've got Pep Guardiola going up against his old club, Bayern Munich, Gab.
Exactly. And Leroy Sané going up against his old club as well. I love, you know, people accuse Pep of overthinking and tinkering and adjusting to the opposition. Usually they do this when City get eliminated. Funnily enough, they don't ever accuse him of overthinking when City win. But Julian Nagelsmann often does exactly the same thing. I think these are two really creative managers. You could say, if you want, you know, Pep against sort of next-gen Pep and Nagelsmann. I'm psyched. I like big box office matches. I don't see why they'll have to come later in the competition.
You know, tomorrow, Thursday, you're off, aren't you?
I am off tomorrow, yes.
Well, I'm actually going to be doing my dream Europa League draw.
No.
Wow. Who wants you to do that?
And as a little bonus segment at the end, my dream Europa Conference draw.
Oh, wow. I mean, goodness me, what a tease that
seriously?
Is.
Seriously?
What?
You're not. You're
no.
not. There's no,
no
way.
Come on.
There's no way.
We want a Napoli with a blockbuster, don't we? As much as
God is saying, don't these guys.
Well, I want Napoli against the City.
Well, of course. And he missed an opportunity there with Benfica with the Enzo Fernandez ball. Chelsea-Benfica, right? Now, in terms of Napoli, yes, we want to see.
Yeah.
Because we're excited about Napoli, but we want to see him at the big boy table.
Yes.
Right? We want to see them against a Bayern Munich, against Man City, against Real Madrid. And I don't think any of those teams that I just mentioned want to play Napoli. They much rather play Milan, Inter, Benfica than Napoli. Nobody wants to play Napoli because this is a team that can expose some of your frailties defensively. And certainly that's the case at times for Real Madrid. It is the case for Manchester City. We've discussed that already. And Bayern Munich, as much as people love them, defensively, they have their issues as well.
Yeah, there you
he
go.
He thought that was true, you know.
I know, yeah, I know.
Just for a second, I was like, I know.
You were
pretty convinced.
He looked at me and went, he went, seriously?
I was resisting your predictions.
As soon as he said that, I
went, what?
Your predictions. Yeah, you're reluctant to give them up.
I'm not.
Oh, God.
No, I gave him a prediction, then they said, I want a Scotland. I want blood. Blood all the time.
A lot more reaction and looking ahead, of course, to the draw on Friday on the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Manchester City favourites to go all the way and win the Champions League. For the second time in the Keeps history did they give 10 out of 10 for a Champions League player, and that was Erling Haaland after scoring 5, of course, in that victory over Leipzig at the Etihad. This is what Pep Guardiola had to say about his striker.
If he achieves these milestones and these records with 22, 23 years old, we'll be boring his life. So now have a target to do it in the future, here and everywhere. So that's why I make a substitution. I didn't know it was with Messi, with Leo, it happened against Leverkusen. They told me in the flash interview. But I make a substitution because normally when the game is over, I want to let them play as much play as possible.
That, of course, discussing the substitution when he was on 5. He could have broken the record and got 6, but now he's still got something to look forward to in life.
Oh.
To try and break that record. Adriano and Messi, the two other players who have achieved that. Only Messi in the knockout stages.
People get infatuated with records.
Well, it's quite an interesting record, I suppose, this one, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Like, to be the only person in the history of the Champions League to score 6 in one game, that's quite something. Oh. Do you agree with him being substituted off?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you've got to look at the big picture. It's not about one person. It's about his team and the goal at the end of the season, which is winning the Champions League. So, you know, I can assure you, I told you earlier, if I'm playing in a game and somebody scored 5 and I'm getting beat 6-0, yeah. If I get an opportunity, I'm kicking somebody.
Oh.
just for that basic reason alone, get them off before somebody tries to be a hero.
Right.
So, yeah, big picture, get them off, you've won the game, no problem with
that. You didn't kick your tyre today, did you? That's why it's...
Well, more of that later.
You're a striker, you're frustrated though, obviously, because you want to get the record.
Okay, you know what? I'm 100% sure that Erling Haaland would not have known while he was playing. You know what? The record is this. And if this is the sort of thing that he pays attention to...
He would not.
I don't think that Haaland would have been paying attention to this. And he would not have been frustrated because he scored 5 goals.
Right?
It's not like you're taking him off. Even saying this, I wouldn't be frustrating, but... You're in 2 goals, maybe you're thinking about a hat-trick. He's already scored a hat-trick. He's gone 2 beyond a hat-trick. I don't think there's a reason to be frustrated. In fact, you saw Erling Haaland when he came off the field. He was more than happy to take the long walk, clap over here, clap over there. He knew the job was done.
That's because he knew Jan wasn't there.
Yeah, well, that too.
Usually he's got a frustrated look when he's coming off. He thinks, oh, Fjortov's here. Now, I mean, I mean, it is great. I mean, the chances of that been beaten if he'd done it, but
yeah,
it's what's more important.
Yeah. Yes, you know, well, indeed, he's got to focus.
Form, the season, winning the Champions League, getting that gap down to Arsenal, winning the Premier League, all these things are more important.
Imagine if he had scored the sixth goal, right?
Yeah.
And had played an extra 20 minutes to do so. Then we get to the weekend and he pulls a hamstring. It's like, oh, why did he play when he had scored five goals already? Yeah. And that's just to please Dan Thomas. I don't think that's a good enough.
Sid got very angry about this yesterday.
I know, it was brilliant.
He got in a bit of an argument with Don.
I know. Which is normally quite an easy argument to win. But on this occasion, Sid, I think, was on the wrong side.
Well, he was trying to point out, Sid, that, it's just a negative attitude to keep somebody on if you think they're going to get injured.
Yeah.
Because what's the chances of that? And it got a bit nonsensical and I switched it off.
I just switched off Twitter like that. That's it, done. Next up for Manchester City, of course, it's the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. They'll be taking on Burnley. Craig Burley on the call for that time.
Hello.
What a treat for us on this.
Is that after he does his dream draw.
Yes, his dream. Johnston paint draw. Yeah.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Who will make their way into Craig's beloved Fantasy Europa League draw? We will find out, of course, tomorrow. Some interesting ties kind of balanced quite nicely going into the match.
Betis, Man U Betis, that's nice.
Well, that's not the one. That's the one I was going to mention, was it? Why would I mention that? I was going to mention Arsenal against Sporting, 2-2. Stephen Nicol, how seriously do you take that 90 minutes if you're Arsenal?
Well, I think so far they've taken this tournament very seriously, so they're not going to go this far and then all of a sudden go, you know what, let's just play the reserve team.
Okay.
So I fully expect...
Is that the right thing to do?
Absolutely, yeah.
What if you pick up an injury? It's Erling Haaland all over again.
Yeah. No, well, I think the reason that outweighs that would be you want to keep the momentum going, winning games and playing well and keep everything going that you've got. The way it is, and that means that you have to play. You got to play a good team, and I think every game they win in this just drives them further forward when they come to play again in the Premier League. So it's about winning. They've got the winning habit, so don't disrupt that. Just keep doing it.
Don't disrupt the habit.
Absolutely not. And look, it has to be a whole lot of fun to go into training if you're Arsenal right now. Right, with everything that is going on this season and all the challenges that you've had and you've been able to answer the call time and time again. And now here's another opportunity. And some players are going to get a chance to play that don't play regularly because I am sure that there's going to be some rotation. But that rotation is going to be important because these are players that at some point or another may have an important part to play in Premier League as well. In the case of Reece Nelson, for example, did we think that he was going to score one of the most important goals in the season for Arsenal? Well, no. And yet... here he is. Mm. Gabriel Jesus coming back. He's going to get important minutes. You need to get him into some sort of rhythm. Plus, you get to this point of the competition, 2-2 against Sporting Lisbon, away from home. You're coming home. You're not going to just put a reserve team out there. You're not just going to rotate everybody out because you're saying, the Premier League is our priority. Yes, it remains your priority, but you can still put a competitive team that should be good enough to beat Sporting Lisbon and maintain this feeling, and I think it's about feeling with Arsenal, this feeling and this sense of belonging and this sense of confidence and self-belief, all those things you have to maintain. And what better way to do it than winning at home?
The way they went into Fulham on Saturday and destroyed in the first 45, a pretty good Premier League team this season, shows what it's all about. If he was going to make changes, wholesale changes, he would have done it in Lisbon. He didn't. I was actually quite surprised by the team that he put out. There was three or four players that got some game time, but Xhaka played, Saka played, you know, Saliba played. I mean, there was a lot of guys that are you would consider first-team players that would play if it was the last game of the season. So he's playing what you would call a hybrid, but actually the Arsenal hybrid team is actually pretty good at the moment. And it's also given these players match fitness that if, say, there's five or six games to go in the Premier League season and Saka gets injured or Martinelli, you might need Smith-Rowe, who's fit again, or Nelson to get game time, or one or two of these other French players, Kieran Tierney. So this competition, bearing in mind they're out of every other domestic competition, is actually giving some of their French players some really good competitive match time.
Craig, of course, be here tomorrow.
Of course I will.
Reflect,
Europa League.
Reflect on.
Is anybody else here?
I am not.
I'm the only one here.
He's stuck in the car park.
No, well, he asked me to do it, a dream draw, but I said no.
I'll tell you what, elitist. I'm the only one here tomorrow.
Yeah, Craig and Kay will be here tomorrow.
Xhaka?
Xhaka will be here.
Maybe.
Physically, at least.
I hear him person.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Two games in the Premier League on Wednesday. Brentford and Brighton both registering victories. Brentford beating Southampton, who remain bottom of the table. Meanwhile, Crystal Palace's poor run continues as they lost against Brighton. Looking at it, Craig, Saints at the bottom of the table. Are they done?
Not yet. No one's done. No one's done. But, I mean, played quite well at Old Trafford, albeit against 10 men, created a lot of chances, but you got to, at home, that's where you need to pick your points up.
Yeah.
In a relegation battle. Yeah.
Who's your three, Stevie? Pick your poison.
The three that are there.
Really? Bournemouth, Leeds, Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to suggest that a two or three game run and streak for any of them,
yes,
which is possible,
right,
unlikely,
yeah,
could save them, but... Yeah. If I was putting money on it, it would be those three.
Okay, all right then. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to... What was that sigh for?
Tomorrow.
You're going to miss us?
I'm beginning to wonder, I think my boss doesn't like me. I never used to do Thursdays, now I'm the Thursday guy.
There you are, what a lovely treat.
And you three are off.
What a lovely treat for you. Be sure to go over to subscribe to... You were very passionate about
Thursday's
Arsenal.
Thursday's a big day in the football. Thursday's a huge day in the football calendar, isn't it?
Shut up. Don't change your tyre.
Meanwhile, we mentioned this yesterday, of course, they've now changed the format for the World Cup. Originally, it was going to be 16 groups of three in the group stage.
What is it now, 48 groups of 16?
12 groups of four is eventually. We need to concentrate when we do this. But there will still be 48. Gab, do you
groups?
Like, shut up. Do you like this change, Gab?
Going to 12 groups of four as opposed to 60 groups of three, 100%. 60 groups of three is basically a recipe for collusion. If you have 12 groups of four with the eight best, third best teams going through, and you make finishing first meaningful, like perhaps especially in a World Cup with a big footprint, making sure that you don't have to travel across the country or, you know, from Mexico to Canada or to New York or whatever, then I think finishing first is meaningful, which in turn has the other benefit that if a team wins their first two games, they may not want to rest everybody thinking it's a dead rubber and they're through anyway. They may want to actually go for it because finishing first could give them a real boost in the knockout phase. So at that stage, I think every game becomes meaningful. I love the 48-game World Cup. I got no issue with it. And I think this is the only way to really do it.
The one change, of course, we've seen as well is that the eight best third-place finishers also qualify. So that kind of takes away the drama maybe that we had in the summer.
I'll tell you what I like. What? A 32-team World Cup.
Yeah.
The
eighth best.
I could not be more polar opposite to Gab on this 48-team World Cup situation. Yeah. He may love it. I hate it.
Oh.
This is... But it's supposed to be an exclusive tournament. This is very inclusive.
It's not!
What do you mean?
When did Moses come down from Mount Olympus saying, this is an exclusive tournament? The reality is about 20% of the FIFA membership qualifies for the World Cup. It's been like that since 1950. The number of FIFA countries have grown. And so this reflects that. You have more teams participating in it. This idea that it's exclusive. It's exclusive if you're Venezuela because it's more difficult to get to the World Cup, maybe. And these days, I got to say, Italy as well. That's what makes it exclusive. But it's not written in stone. It needs to be exclusive.
Gab, you just used the expression of the eight best third teams qualify to the next round. You actually... to describe what this 48-team World Cup is going to be like. Eight best three teams, best third-place teams, they make it into the knockout stage. Man, that sounds a lot like a tournament that it's very gimmicky, right?
Well,
did you
watch
very
the World
gimmicky.
Cup in 1986 or 1990 or 1994 when you had the best third-place teams qualifying? Was it eight of them?
Well, that was I played in it, and I thought it was ridiculous.
Okay,
was
well, there
four,
you go.
There was only four teams never qualified. I mean, we were one of them, but it was only four teams. How ridiculous is that? Only four teams don't qualify.
Right. Well,
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
It's math. It was four out of the six groups, yeah? You had six groups, and you had four teams. This time, you've got six teams, and you've got... or whatever, sorry, you've got eight teams and you have 12 groups. The percentage doesn't actually change, right? So it's not really any different than it was when you played in it, Stevie.
Mm.
But if you didn't like it then, you probably won't like it now.
Well, it's just going to be worse teams. There's going to be worse teams in it. That's the difference.
There's going to be poorer sides in it for sure. But can we cut to the chase a little bit in terms of, I think part of the statement from FIFA whilst making the change was this will help us reach our... revenue of $9 billion.
Or whatever it is. There it is.
And I think this has little to do with teams that are going to get to a World Cup who may never have been there before, have a better chance, and this is going to make them better, and this is going to be more inclusive. To the real game here is people are going to make a lot more money because there's going to be a lot more games. And it all boils down to the same thing.
Gab, we're running out of time. Yeah, last word to this on you. Can you just make it quick?
Simply put, that $9 billion goes back to federations around the world who would not exist if not for the money that FIFA rakes in and gives them in the form of funds. It's easy from Europe, where we have wealthy federations, to go and look at things one way, and then other people around the world, they wouldn't have a federation, they wouldn't have teams without the funds that FIFA gives them. So I'd much rather that than the money just flowing into the pockets of more Glazers, frankly.
this means that Venezuela has a chance to make it to the World Cup.
No, I don't like it.
I'm saying my country has a better chance of making it for the first time into the competition, and I don't like it. Excuse me
for not thinking FIFA are the financial guardian angels of the world.
2026, of course, will be in the US. Speaking of the US men's national team, Claudio Reyna has been called up.
Gio Reyna.
Any more of this, you're going to be Europa League duty.
Has been called up. Anthony Hudson, who is the interim manager, speaking about that decision, saying the situation during the World Cup was handled as a group. There was a positive response from the player, and we all move forward. As far as we're concerned, Gio is part of our programme. He's a good guy and a top talent.
They love a cliche, don't they?
How would you treat him, Craig?
What do you mean?
If you're part of that US squad?
Well,
you make a joke about it.
From a player or a coach?
Yeah, from a player perspective.
I have not really followed this as much. I know you guys were talking about it the
other day. Okay.
I am utterly bored of this shambles that is US soccer and what went on.
Right.
I don't know if Claudia, Gio, Berhauer, the Federer, I don't know who's to blame. I don't know who's to blame. And I don't know how the players will react. I don't know, because I don't know how their relationship was when they were in Qatar. I just can't answer that question.
I suppose it's such an individual question, isn't it? Because we don't know the relationship they have with him.
Right. The first thing, if I were his teammate with the national team, I would reach out directly to Gio Reyna and I would say, I'm sure you've already thought about this, but your parents, keep them away from anywhere that this team is going
to
be.
You feel that you would need to have that conversation?
If he hadn't thought about it, this would be my reminder to him. You'd be better off with your parents staying at their home. Nowhere near this team. Nowhere near this call-up. Don't come to the stadium. Don't be around
them. What if they say, well, I didn't ask your opinion. I'm here to play football. It doesn't matter what my parents do.
You just asked me what I would do.
No, I know, but you're talking to him as if he's going to have almost like a respectful response. I appreciate you reaching out.
Hopefully, if I'm having this conversation, we have a relationship in which there is that level of trust. If I didn't have that level of trust, there would be no conversation. And when he walks into the room, I'm like, I don't care if this guy's here or not.
Right.
I'm talking about it as a teammate and as a guy who cares about Gio Reyna being on the team. I would reach out to him and say, priority number one, make this about your performance on the field. Make this about your talent and helping this team. Nothing to do with anything outside that may detract from who you are as a player.
Could you joke about it? Is mummy and daddy not here with you?
This whole thing is easily dealt with. The staff just treat him as though he's another guy coming to join the squad.
Right.
And the players, if they're normal players... As soon as the first team for the five-a-side's picked, somebody will take the mickey and say, hold on, let me call your dad to see which team you want to be on.
Right.
And if Gio laughs, it's over.
Okay.
If Gio takes the hump, then he's...
problem.
There's a problem. But that's it. It'll be done.
Didn't the players allegedly have a meeting?
Yes.
And some of them wanted to send them home?
Yes. Yes, Greg Berhalter had a conversation, but then apparently
But then you know the staff were the ones that called the meeting. It wasn't the players. The players aren't going to call a meeting and do all that nonsense.
What if he doesn't take it well?
He's going to get ostracised.
Right.
If he doesn't take it well, he's going to get ostracised and he won't last 2 minutes.
Because that's not going to go away.
Right.
No.
Right. That's not going to go away. It's going to be hanging over his head. So the quicker it is dealt with, the quicker it's just kind of laughed about. In the case of what Steve is trying to bring up,
then
it's better for everybody.
Right.
Most importantly, it's better for Gio Reyna himself.
Circus, isn't it?
Yes, it is a circus.
Yeah, you imagine, just for a second, you imagine, because we're talking about teenagers, right? You imagine the parents of Pedri calling Luis Enrique directly during the World Cup or sending text messages to whoever because he wasn't playing, or the parents of Gavi and saying, hey, why is Gavi not playing? You think that this thing would happen at that sort of level? We're talking about international football. It's something that Stevie brought up a couple of days ago. And yet, it is a serious conversation that we have to have. It's amazing.
One more thing on the US. Of course, Florian Wallagon has been fantastic, hasn't he, in Ligue 1 so far this season. He's eligible to play for the US as well as the likes of England or Nigeria. Speaking of this, Hudson said, all I'll say there is open dialogue with him and his team. That dialogue is continuing. That's all I can say. today. A lot more on that, I'm sure, on the latest edition of Football America. That drops tomorrow after Craig's Europa League special. Be sure.
What time is that?
I will imagine it says 6 o'clock live.
6 p.m. Eastern, yeah, exactly.
Eastern time.
The Bundesliga has had a rubbish week. Rubbish week in the Champions League. Back to domestic action, of course, this weekend. It all starts with Borussia Mönchengladbach against Werder Bremen. The late game on Saturday is Dortmund against Cologne. And then Sunday sees Bayer Leverkusen take on Bayern Munich. All of those games live on ESPN+.
Please tell us that is it.
Oh, no! Ajax against Feyenoord on Sunday.
Hey!
It's tight there as well, Stevie.
You can see that game live
at 9:30 Eastern on ESPN+. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Gab Marcotti is back, as are the boys, to answer your questions on Extra Time.
What is that? What's going on?
Be sure to stay with us. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Gam Marcotti popping away. Ali's here, Craig's here, Stevie's here as well. Missed the Liverpool game, most of the Liverpool game, because you were tending to your flat tyre, Stevie.
Well, Ali was. Yes.
We got it done, Stevie.
Stevie was complaining about his flat tyre, and me and Craig were very quiet.
I'm not the tyre fixer. I am the picker-upper when he's lost.
When he's lost in the
dog. Right. That's my job.
Yep, and Ali, you stood up, but there was no spare tyre. There was a
There was a repair kit actually that you put into the tire and some sort of
it's some sort of liquid.
Yeah, but actually that you put it into the tire, that in itself sort of takes care of or repairs the tire for a short period of time, and then you put air into it, and it so far so good. Before we came into studio, it was holding up.
What are the odds that Stevie makes it home tonight?
No, it's pretty high.
Are you confident?
Yeah.
What were the odds of you, if Stevie doing this on his own?
No, so when we went to the car and I went to where every spare tire is at the back of the car and I lift it up, I see the repair kit and I don't see a wrench. I don't see the cross handle thing.
Yeah.
I don't see the tire. I'm thinking, what kind of car is this?
Yes.
But
cheap.
it turns out that the repair kit itself is actually easier. You just hook it up, plug it into the car and so far, again, before we came into studio, the tire was holding up.
So you were reading the manual, getting yourself sorted.
Yes.
What was Stephen doing during that?
Let's clarify this. Let's clarify something. And you did this, yeah?
Yes.
Right. So how come when he came back up, we went, well, that's much easier than changing a tire.
Well, it was, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was.
See? There you go.
Once we figure out what is it that we needed to do, yes. And which basically tells you right there in a repair kit. So I was reading it, and I said, Stevie, well, I don't see a spare tire, so I'm going to read this. He went and looked at the owner's manual.
Oh.
But it wasn't quite moving quickly as quickly as possible. There was a lot of opening pages.
It's not in English.
Yes, exactly.
What's your phone Elna? Does he whip tire pressure?
I'm like,
I had the manual in front of me. I couldn't find it.
But he goes, there was one moment. This is actually
Elna, what's the tire?
She would know.
That's actually pretty funny because there was one time in which I felt a level of confidence when CBC says, page 435, that's what it's at. We get to 435 and then it's just back to,
wow.
I don't know.
Wow, this is going to be exciting to see if you make it home.
Switch your phone off. Yes. Oh, God's sake. That's okay. Been off.
How are you, Gab? Are you well? How are your tyres?
My tyres are good. I have a similar repair kit in the back of my car, but... Oh. Also, because I live in London, if you get a flat tire, yeah, you can either repair it yourself or you just call somebody and they come by and they have a little van with a tire in the back. But I guess you don't have that in.
Well, yes, we do. No, that's the prelude.
That's another story. That was 45 minutes before we before I got Ali.
They asked Stevie what sort of car it was. And that's it went wrong from there.
Is it a front wheel drive or a rear wheel drive?
It's got four wheels.
I mean, what year was it? I mean, how are you supposed to know what year it is? Let's be honest.
All right, Gab. Who is more likely to win the championship? Champions League, Gab, Real Madrid or Manchester City?
Oh. Well, considering Real Madrid, I believe, have 14 of them at home, and they seem to kind of get the rub of the green so many times to the point that I don't think you can chalk it up to luck. I might lean Real Madrid this year, but Manchester City are probably 1-11, a better side.
So that's Real Madrid?
Yes.
Right.
What's that?
Your vote?
Manchester City. Who's more likely? Manchester City.
Can he go against Real Madrid?
Real Madrid? Okay.
How can he go against them?
Arsenal.
That's Europa League.
I'm only taking Europa.
I don't
deal in this elitist competition.
We've had a lot of tweets about this, Stevie. I don't know how much you're paying attention to it. Can you explain Liverpool's substitution decisions today? Did you see them? Shall I have a look? Did any of them make you scratch your head?
Where was that?
To be honest. Harvey Elliott came on for Jota. Firmino came on for Nunes. Both of those in the 57th minute. Oxlade-Chamberlain came on for James Milner in the 73rd minute.
Page 435 of the manual, Steve.
Yeah. 435. Well,
I mean,
I think he just knew it was
over. The game's over. Like,
speak. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, why are you laughing at? Started the show.
How dare you ask me a question? I'm not here to answer. I'm not here to answer questions.
Started the show like that, didn't he? He went like, "I've got nothing to say about it."
How many shows do you have when someone goes, "Speak"?
What about when you asked him at the start of the show, the live show, about Liverpool, Real Madrid? He went, "I've got nothing to say about it."
Honestly. I mean, there isn't anything to say about the whole thing.
Oh, here we go, Gab. We've been hearing this a lot from the Italians, haven't we? Italy is the country with the most teams advancing in the next round of the Champions League. Is Serie A coming back to its glory days? Or have other teams not been so good this year?
I think it's definitely factually accurate that Italy have 50% more teams. Say it that way because it sounds better in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. It's also factually accurate that other than Napoli, you know, Inter fans wanted Inzaghi fired on Friday night. And that Milan fans are all grumbly and saying, oh, the Pioli era is over, we need to move on. I think it's stupid to go and judge the strength of a league by this kind of metric. I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever. So I do think Serie A is slowly coming back because it had fallen very, very far. But it's certainly not because of this, this exploit from Milan and Inter achieving this level. Because, you know, if they were really, really good, they'd be far closer to Napoli and they would have been consistent all year long. And they haven't been.
Craig, based on this season's Champions League performance so far, start, bench or sell? Benzema, Haaland, Osimhen.
Oh. Speak, man. Speak. Well, are we basing it purely on stats because I don't have them in front of me?
No.
Benzema, Haaland, Osimhen. That's difficult, isn't it?
How can you go against a guy that's just scored 5 goals?
That's good.
And I mean, I don't. I think the number one's the easier one of the two.
Right.
Haaland.
No.
Well, Benzema's not been great this season.
All right.
If it's based on this season, it's a no-brainer, no?
Well, I don't know how many Osimhen scored in the Champions League, Gab.
He scored more than Benzema, most likely.
Right, okay.
But he just had a better season.
Most likely. Little caveat there. He scored more than that.
So we're going Haaland, Osimhen, Benzema?
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Based on this season.
Yeah, this is based on this season.
Let's clarify that. This season.
Buy me a bit of time. Ask him another Liverpool.
Yeah. There we go, right.
God's sake.
Final question. Ali, thoughts on Venezuela in the WBC?
Oh.
Well, the WBC is the World Baseball Cup?
Classic.
Oh.
World Baseball Classic.
In case you didn't know, Venezuela and baseball, it's a big deal.
Yes.
Right?
Bigger than soccer?
It used to be for a long period of time. In fact, as I was growing up, baseball was bigger than soccer.
And then you played in the national
team. Well, of course. And then it allowed kids to dream. Right? It allowed kids to dream.
If Ali can play for the national team, anybody
can. It's open mic season. Anybody gets a chance. But the other night, really exciting game, Venezuela against Dominican Republic. Big rivalry, of course, because two big baseball nations, and Venezuela was able to come out on top. The uniform for Venezuela, outstanding.
Are they real players?
Yes, they're real players.
Right, okay. Professional players.
Big league players.
No, it's not like the Olympics, for example, where you have
amateurs. No. This is we're talking about big leaguers here. We're talking about Major League Baseball.
There you go. Gab, are you Italians in this?
Yeah.
Of course. Italy beat Holland. We advanced to the quarterfinals. This was a few days ago. We might have lost, but I think it would be nice to know that Italy and Holland, actually, the two baseball powerhouses traditionally in Europe, but of course far behind Venezuela, Dominican.
There you go. You play baseball, Stevie, at all in your time here?
No. No.
Just thinking about his tie, you know. No, I do think you should sort of feel a little bit ashamed.
Me?
Yeah.
What have I done?
Well, when he was in his time of need.
Yeah.
Right. Before Ali went to change, he made an offer to go and change his tyre.
Yes.
You were the only one that offered him nothing.
What did you offer?
A strategy.
What was your strategy? What was your strategy?
Phone the security.
Right, you wanted to phone
security. No, it's true, you did.
I did, phone security, and maybe offer some money. Somebody might want a little sidey.
Right.
You sat there, stoom.
No, I spoke to him about his AAA with the lady. I listened to that story.
I was
a shoulder to cry on. That's what I offered. There we go, that is it. Craig's back tomorrow. Stevie may never be back. Who knows? We will find out.
Stevie, trust my work, Stevie.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. You're going to go and run to look at the tyre now. If it's flat.
I'll stay there and we'll fix it.
Are you going to go drive behind him on the way home? Because you live closest to him.
Different directions.
Different directions, that is it. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, Kay will be here with Craig for a Europa League special.
Everybody's on tomorrow. The who's who.
Of Europa League level.